I used to go over to Parham Bridges, where there's tennis courts and a walking trail. I used to go over there fairly often and go walking on that trail. And one day, I came back to my car in that parking lot, and the window on the driver's side had been broken out, and my purse was gone. I walked over to the pro shop to use their phone to call the police, because I knew I had to file a police report. And when I asked to use the phone, the people in the pro shop said, "Well, there's a pay phone right out there." And I said, "Well, I don't have anything to pay with, because my purse has been stolen out of my car." All of my resources at that moment felt like they'd been taken from me. Here I am. I need to call for help. And you're telling me to stop bothering you and get help myself. It does seem that in the times when we are the most broken, feeling the most victimized, we don't even have enough to call for help. I need help sometimes, and I don't even have the strength to ask for it. In our gospel story, the widow is facing a desperate situation. She has no resources. She has no recourse other than this judge who would not help. She was not a person of status, but she persisted. She said, "Grant me justice against my opponent." It wasn't very likely that the judge would do it. She was a nobody. The judge was a self-serving, heartless narcissist. And yet the widow kept asking. The early church, which first received this gospel story, saw many prayers unanswered in terms of their earthly needs. Prayers for safety, prayers for protection from persecution. But those early believers did as we are urged to do, to trust that God remains with us and loves us. We are to try to find strength in God and in community to survive the crises and celebrate the joys. The early church kept the faith, praying for strength continually in a violent world hostile to their way. Now, this gospel passage is one of those that really is difficult for me. I'm tempted to do something that is called eisegesis instead of exegesis. Exegesis is when you study scripture or a text and you figure out the meaning in it and pull the meaning out so that it can be communicated to other people and understood. Eisegesis is the opposite, which is the time when you want to take meaning that you'd like to see in that passage and put it in there and claim that this is what Scripture says. And I'm tempted to do that in this passage. I want to resist what it seems to be saying and read into it what I hope it means. Is it telling me that if I'm suffering spiritually, physically, or emotionally, that I simply haven't prayed long enough to this loving God of ours? The religious writer Houston Smith says about prayer, "When the consequences of belief are worldly goods, such as health, fixing on these turns religion into a service station for self-gratification and churches into health clubs. This is the opposite of religion's role, which is to de-center the ego, not pander to its desires." So, if we think as positively as we can, Scripture is telling us to persist. But is that requirement worthy of a loving and generous God? We are to persist even when it feels like the bad guys are winning. We try to be faithful, pounding on God's door repeatedly, even when others' prayers seem more effectual than ours. Persistence. Even Jacob, the subject of our Old Testament reading, had to wrestle with God to receive a blessing. It always makes me wonder, shouldn't a loving, all-powerful God offer blessings without our having to go to the mat for them? There are many questions that we ask that we cannot get our understanding around. And the prophet Isaiah wrote God's word, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, this passage will often be used when we're in a difficult place and we cannot reconcile human logic with what we perceive as the way of God. But it says that God's ways should be higher than ours. It seems they should be more merciful than we are, more loving, more generous. I sometimes cannot reconcile that God is not already answering our needs. And so we simply pray to know, to be aware that God remains with us all the time. These stories in Scripture, I don't think they're telling us that God responds more quickly to people of status or to people who bother God enough. I think that these Scriptures are saying that circumstances, if we're not careful, circumstances can make us believe that God isn't with us. As when we perceive that other people are luckier, healthier, richer, happier. We keep praying, not so that God finally relents and gives us what we want, but so that we keep before us always the awareness that God is with us. One of the most beautiful passages in our Book of Common Prayer reminds us of God being with us. It says, "Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night, and give your angels charge over those who sleep." God is keeping watch, and we keep praying to know that we're not alone. No matter what the judge seems to say, no matter how long we seem to be forced to wrestle, we are to trust God even when we fear that God is not hearing us. Scripture is telling me that God is here, that God has always been with me, and given that strength of God within me, I can persevere. So, I keep praying. Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night. Give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying. Soothe the suffering. Pity the afflicted. Shield the joyous, and all for your love's sake. I am to persist in prayer. I am to remember that when I need help and haven't the strength to find it, God is here. God keeps watch with all of us who will work or watch or weep this night.